Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Spock.
Oops!
I have no right to tell you to enjoy or disenjoy Star Trek. I should just continue to espouse how wonderful Star Trek is in every iteration, because there's something for everyone. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch. That's the bottom line, right? I mean, who am I? Old man shouts at cloud. This is how it should be, right? Because I don't want to be a gatekeeper. If you enjoy current Star Trek, good. Good, I am happy for you. And far be it from me to ruin that enjoyment for you. And this should be the end of the podcast. You should stop listening right now. If you enjoy me as a person and you enjoy Star Trek in totality, well, first of all, there's a disconnect. Because you know that I sometimes have issues with Star Trek in its current iterations, and all iterations. I will rail just as hard against third season TOS and second season TNG and first season DS9 as I will about anything that comes up here. I want to be fair and judicious on this. I have to be. My son was asking me, we were actually going through some of the titles. He's like, you know, Dad, TOS... TOS has some really good titles. I was like, you're right. And as we went through it, especially third season has the best titles for the worst season, doesn't it? For the World is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky. Such a good one. Let That Be Your Last Battlefield. Another good one. Bad episodes. For the World is Hollow is actually not a bad episode. It's a good McCoy episode. But I firmly claimed how bad it was. When he said Turnabout Intruder, I cringed. I said, oh, buddy, that is one of the darker moments of Star Trek. Had the season gone on, they're like, oh, yeah, women can't be captains on a starship vessel. The ludicrous nature of that would have just absolutely floored me. How could I contend with that? The only way I can contend with and reconcile it is it's the last episode. And we all knew, it's like, well, this thing was kind of grinding to a halt. You know, I mean, if there was ever a soft landing for a series, it's Star Trek third season, because it just got progressively worse. And so I do not love them. I love them. You love all your children, but you don't like them sometimes, right? Sometimes you're like, oh, I don't like what you did there. I don't like what Star Trek did in TOS. And I don't like what Star Trek did in some TNG, the early season. And actually the seventh season kind of goes off the rails sometimes too. Sixth and seventh season. Not a big fan of DS9 the first couple of seasons, but then the last few seasons, really good. But then that finale, ooh, that finale's rough. Voyager, okay. Enterprise is actually better than I thought. And I'm sorry that I slept on that. And I'm watching them again. I'm getting ready to do a deep dive on Star Trek The Cage. Jeffrey Hunter, get ready for that. So why am I railing now? What is my point, my bone of contention? Why have I been summoned, like decrypted, I want to say, like roused from my sleep of making these goofy Star Trek role-playing game episodes, which maybe you hate. I don't know, maybe you hate listening to me and my friends, you know, I mean, your friends, hopefully, talk for like 2 hours. Well, I did it because those same friends sent me an article from Akiva Goldsmith. Akiva Goldman, sorry. Sorry, Akiva. Who is a good writer in his own way. He is a really good, accomplished writer. He's done many, many things. And certainly his career eclipses mine, you know, times 10. I've done sci-fi series. I've been in a sci-fi series. I've written science fiction TV shows. So I have some inklings of that, but Akiva blows me out of the water. Not acting wise. I cannot act him. Sorry, Akiva, you can't do that. But he's got the keys to the kingdom right now to some degree, right? I mean, he was on Discovery, and now he is literally helming the pilot for Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And so the thing that got my goat, that roused me, that riled me, that gave me rise, that gave me pause, is this article and perhaps we'll put it on Heat Vision from the Hollywood Reporter. It came out 3 days ago. Star Trek showrunner discusses Strange New Worlds plan, evolving Q for Picard. And I might have even like looked right past, because I didn't, you know, care. But my friends started to talk about it, and they flagged a couple of the things in the interview, which he said, which when I read a couple times, like, ooh, boy. Now, he's 58 years old. He certainly has, you know, he says, you know, he was at conventions, you know, in the past, and he's always been a lifelong Star Trek fan. So is Michael Chabon. That's not necessarily a reason that you will make good Star Trek. That's something we've learned, right? That's the unfortunate truth, is that you may love Star Trek and not make good Star Trek. Justin Lin loved Star Trek, made good Star Trek. So we can say that. But let me read just a couple of quotes which has drawn my ire. Let me see here. So he said he was in a convention in 1975. All right, so one of the things that came up, first of all, is that Star Trek Picard actually was going to be just a short trek. This is interesting. It was just going to be the idea of a short trek. And from what I've heard from rumors, it was going to feature Nichelle Nichols, and then she was going to bump into a young Jean-Luc Picard. And they're going to cast a young Jean-Luc Picard. And they thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting to have, like, Patrick Stewart show up at the very end of this short trek? Boom, the end. But somehow that snowballed into, hey, I wonder if we can actually get Patrick Stewart. And hey, we're also going to launch, like, you know, this Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, is there? I know there's a Paramount. Is there a Paramount Minus? And I guess maybe it's going to be like this tiered kind of viewing where you like pay and like you watch commercials, something like that. But Paramount Plus kind of means that anything I'm watching on Paramount, there's the Paramount Network. Is that Paramount Minus? Is that just Paramount? I don't know what I'm getting out of that. Anyway, that's kind of my little bit on that. I don't have much to say on that. So it started off as a short trek and then turned into this thing which they were suddenly gifted this. Yes, Patrick Stewart will do it. He'll do it. Michael Chabon, go ahead and run this. Go ahead. And so Akiva says this thing. He says a couple of things which kind of, you know, rile me up here. But let me see if I can find it. All right, so I found it. So someone asked, switching to Picard, what did you guys learn from the first season in terms of pulling off the show that you're bringing into season two? And he says, quote, figure out the end earlier. If you're going to do a serialized show, you have the whole story before you start shooting. It's more like a movie in that way. You better know the end of your third act before you start filming your first scene. This is what we had all had a supposition about, isn't it? This is the thing we sort of, as the show unspooled, we started to come to the realization that they didn't know what the hell they're doing. That this was them just sort of like floating around, playing with a box of toys, pulling out one, throwing it to the side, and then picking up a new toy, and then throwing that one aside. And by the end, they had this giant pile of toys they didn't know what to do with, and neither did we. And so they capped it off, they killed off Picard, turned him into a robot, the end, see you later. This is where I have issue with this. This is the to some degree, the audacity of this. I can forgive someone trying to write Star Trek if they have an ignorance towards Star Trek. J.J. Abrams didn't know anything about Star Trek. He's like, oh, I was always kind of a Star Wars guy. Hey, you want to give me the keys to this? You got it, man. I'm going to make it. I'm going to put a bunch of spaceships in there. Lots of like lens flares. This guy like doesn't like this guy. This guy's going to fight that guy. We're going to have a guy named Nero. Super cool. Going to get some people around me. I get that. If someone's going to give this to you, you know anything about it, you're going to fake it till you make it, right? And Star Trek 2009, which I guess is what we'll call, wasn't a terrible movie, but it's certainly one. It started off well, and then it kind of went off the rails. So I don't fault that. You can be ignorant and try your best at Star Trek, and that can be a problem. You can be incompetent, and that's also a problem. If someone gives you the keys to the kingdom and you don't know what you're doing, that can also be a big problem. You know, I would say people always kind of rail against Fred Friedberg. I don't know if he necessarily knew what he was doing as far as the show. I mean, I maybe I shouldn't be going after him. I know his daughter defends him, but I also saw Space 1999 and also saw which direction he went with that with the second season on that. And they're very similar. They're very similar. They're very cartoony. They're very, you know, so I don't know if that's incompetence or it's just a lack of understanding of how what worked before works now. And maybe we should even put Fred to the side and say, I'm sure there's been some writer or director or actor who came in who had a level of incompetence towards the material and couldn't handle that. that's another scenario. We can call them out for that. Like, hey, you blew this one. Well, why don't we call it out? William Shatner, to a degree, didn't know how to film a Star Trek movie. He was not ignorant to it. He was well informed. But Star Trek V was not written or shot very effectively. And we all know that. And we all, and even he knows that. Even he calls himself out on that. So I would say it is site-specific incompetence. Maybe they should have had him direct a couple of episodes or something before you put him, you know, behind the chair in that. Well, I mean, Leonard Nimoy did it. Leonard Nimoy proved he was competent in that. I'm building up to this, that for Akiva Goldsman to come to this realization afterward, that if you're going to do a serialized show and you don't have an ending for it, that is negligent. That is negligent, and that is the worst of the three, because you are throwing away the accountability for that. It makes me so irritated. We all knew this, but it can't be an improv game. It can't be my Star Trek RPG. I know what the end of my Star Trek RPG is. Why did I give more thought to that than the creators of Star Trek Picard did for the end of the show? Why did they just blindly go out? I mean, I could say boldly go out, but that's not bold. That's just dumb. Akiva has written films in the past. If he says it's the same thing, why did no one say, how is this going to end this first season? Why would you build a serialized story and not know how it's going to end? Now, we all know that the show Lost had that sort of similar vibe where it's like, hey, we don't know how, we know how it's going to, we know the last scene. We know how that's going to, you know, work out. And you can read, Damon Lindelof's, you know, kind of accounts recently about how he knew it was going to end, but then they got too much story. They got too many episodes onto that. They gave him like 10 for this, right? Isn't it just 10? It's not 13. Maybe it's 10. It doesn't matter because I can't even remember. All I remember is they start on Earth. Then they went to, you know, Free Cloud. And then there's Romulans and there's Borgs. And none of it had any effect. Every single bit of it was discarded away. We should call it Star Trek Discard, right? That's the funny line. That's the line I'm looking for. On Star Trek Discard, we're going to bring up something and then you're never going to hear about it again. Not going back to Free Cloud. Sorry about that. Romulan stuff? Eh, whatever. Crazy Romulans. All the stuff that happened on Mars and the AI? No. And it makes me angry that they blew through the whole Data storyline. Which comes up to my next thing, is that later on they ask him, well, how are you going to handle Q? What's going to happen with Q? And you know, he talks kind of, you know, he's talking very coyly. We're talking about issues that come up with the last stage of your life, although he's a robot. We wanted a Q that could play that in the arena with Picard. This all just feels very checkboxy, right? It's like, well, we burned through Data. We teased them with Data. We got people to kind of follow along. But guess what? We blew that. We killed Data a second time. And it didn't have any import. It didn't matter. Oh, I'm still alive. Would you please kill me? Yeah, I guess so. So I guess this makes me angrier than anything. If you give this series to a newcomer, and so you could say maybe like Mike McMahon on Lower Decks, a newcomer, if he blows it here and there, you know, I have some issues with some of the episodes, that's fine. That's fine. But even that, I feel, is more thought out than what we got in Picard. And again, if you feel as though, Mike, you're not qualified, I would submit that I understand this to a degree because I've sat there in writer's rooms and planned out shows. Now, the show Hot Streets, which is now on HBO Max, is something that I helped Brian Weissel plan out. And we sat there for weeks on end, trying to make sure that everything connected. That if someone was following along, and I don't know if anyone was, they would say, oh, this beat connects with that beat. Don't you deserve it? If you're going to invest 10 hours of your life with the promise of a story that will make sense, don't you deserve to have people sitting around going through every single bit of it and cross-checking, saying, wait, we didn't explain this beat. Wait, this beat kind of doesn't gel with this beat. Now, you say, Mike, counterargument. What about TOS? TOS is all over the map. TOS is goofy. TOS, like, sometimes contradicts itself from episode to episode. Sure. And so does TNG and sometimes Deep Space Nine until they really go serialized. And even when they do go serialized, my rejoinder to that is this, And I don't, you know, I mean, again, I don't want to get too deep on this, but this is a rant. If you like rants, here's a rant. You got it. My reply to that is this, is that that was 55 years ago. That was a show which was burning through story capital and every episode was fighting for its life, right? That was a show which is like, hey, we don't know if we're going to get a second season or a third season. We don't know if we're going to get canceled mid-season. So let's just make the best episode possible. And I do say episode, not serialized series. An episode is self-contained. And so if you make a story, and sometimes they would send these stories, like Harlan Ellison went off and, you know, spent like weeks working on his version of The City on the Edge of Forever. You'd send off writers and they'd go off and write it and they'd come back and they had no knowledge of what the other writers were writing about. That's something I'm facing right now in a show I'm writing as a staff writer. I mean, they send me out, I write it and I come back and I say, oh, this character's name is Clementine. Oh, no, no, we have someone already named Clementine. Sorry. Oops. I didn't know that. And so sometimes that happens, especially in a fast production when they're making 26, 27 episodes at a time and just and they had no realization that 55 years later we'd be referencing it. So that I can excuse. Even Star Trek Next Generation, those first few seasons, you know, where they're like, oh, that's right, we forgot that this kind of bumps against that. Because you're just making it just kind of to make it. But this is 55 years later. And I don't need canon to be this restrictive thing. But I need you to have continuity within your own show. I need you to reach back two episodes and say, hey, remember that thing we just showed you? That has relevance moving forward. I don't need it to be something that's going to fall apart by the end of 10 episodes. I need you to think past 10 hours of television. I need that. And I don't need you to start the series before you know the end. I don't know why that occurred. I don't know if it was like, hey, we got to go now or we don't go at all. But if nothing else, you have to stop and take a beat and say, where are we starting? Where are we ending? Okay, that's my big tirade on that. The other one here, and let me say this also. So they find the ending and they kill off Picard. Let's not kid ourselves. Picard is dead. Captain Jean-Luc Picard is dead. His memories are stored in a synthetic being. Data is dead. His memories were stored in B4, and then B4 died too. So he's dead, 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 right? He's died three times now. Who knows? Maybe he's going to come back. But this human being named Jean-Luc Picard is dead, and he's been turned to a robot, which is exactly like he was, except that he has no congenital, you know, diseases, which were going to kill him, which did kill him, despite all of the science that floats around. My second point of contention is this. Will Picard's new body impact his character in season 2, or does it just not? And Akiva answers, it doesn't. We did fundamentally try to address that at the end of 10. He's not Super Picard. We reset his congenital problem he lived with since Next Gen and gave him the opportunity for rebirth, but it's nothing more than a record he might have been where he is, were he not here. I think they should say, were he not here. They said, where he not here. So basically they're saying, this big fun thing we did, this big exciting moment here where we're killing off Picard, isn't going to matter. Let us never speak about this again. Remember, if I could go way back to The Simpsons, there's an episode where Seymour Skinner, Principal Skinner, is revealed not to be Principal Skinner, but a man assuming his name, sort of like Don Draper does. And at the end, that guy shows up, and then they end up putting him on a, like tying him to a rail car and sending him off away. And then they say, let us never speak of this matter again. And they kind of don't, unless they bring up as a joke. This whole season is kind of a joke. It's kind of a goof. It's kind of a pre-season. It's kind of like, hey, we got a bunch of toys. We're going to play with them and we're going to throw them away. And you know what? None of it mattered. That big thing at the end, it's not going to matter. He's a robot, but not really. He's Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Let's not think about that. Let's not remember that, shall we? Let's put that to the side. He goes on to say other things. He talks about how Section 31, is still happening, but I have my doubts on that because we've been talking about that for a long time. And I just think no one wants to see that. And he's doing Star Trek Brave New Worlds as an episodic, which, okay. You know, as I look at the totality of Star Trek right now, as I look at the shape of Star Trek, Lower Decks, sure. Short Treks, okay. If you can nail Strange New Worlds, and it's episodic, and it tells a self-contained story, and I don't have to worry about Romulans with weird Dorito-like playing cards, or robots, or synths, or Dr. Octopus arms coming out of temporal holes. If I can just think about that story right then and there. If you can move me in about 45 minutes with a story, I think that's a good place to start, guys. Why don't we start there and build out? And then if you want to do a movie or a two-parter, I think that's okay. If you want to do, like, the Enterprise did, like, 3-episode arcs, sure. But maybe, just maybe, we should take the serialized nature of Star Trek and put it back on the shelf. Because by your own admission, the curtain has been pulled away, and by your own admission, it's not working. Because you start and you don't know where you're going. And that's a bummer. That's a bummer because that's kind of the promise that you make to us. We're going to take you on a journey. One of the funny things as I've been doing my deep dive on The Cage, and to wrap this up, is that the idea of, I think it was one of the studio executives, came up with the idea of doing it as a captain's log, which we now think of, we don't even think about. But consider it this way. A captain's log is something that is looked at as a reflection. Captain's log, starting at something and something. This happened, and then this happened, and this happened. If Captain Kirk or Picard or Sisko or anyone is writing this log, then it's already happened. The outcome has already been assured. In other words, as they start that episode, they're telling us, hey, guess what? There's an ending at this. We already know the ending to this. I've started to say happy ending, but sometimes they're not. But there is an ending for this that we already know. Sit back, relax. We've got you covered. We've got the ending figured out. Now let us take you through the rest of it, because we've got that figured out too. All right, that is my tirade. Like it, hate it, whatever you think about it. If you want to go on the Facebook page and tell me what you think about that. And then listen to our Star Trek role-playing thing. We're starting. I'm going to wrap it up pretty soon. This draining for me to plan this out, voyage. But I'm having fun, and everyone else is having fun. And I hope you have fun, too. I have a meeting in 5 minutes. That always sounds like the Romulan dun 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 or Klingon dun 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 dun. Anyway, if like, comment, subscribe, do whatever you want. I'm Mike McCafferty, and this is the end of this podcast, for I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can't he?
I meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.
Now, these folks don't need us swimming in their suits.